Thank you for directing your internet connection to this sermon audio page for Christ Orthodox Presbyterian Church. You can learn more about Christ OPC by visiting our website at www.christopcatl.org. Christ OPC meets for worship each Sunday at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Let's turn together to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. This morning we'll focus on verse 20, but we'll read from verses 1 through 21 for context. Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. The grass withers and flower fades, but God's word abides forever. We begin this morning with a Greek lesson. It'll be very brief, I assure you. One of the key words in Ephesians is grace. It should be music to our ears. Truly amazing, astounding grace. It is charis in Greek. Chapter 1, we have redemption through Jesus Christ according to the riches of his grace. Chapter 2, that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. This grace is one directional. It comes from God the Father through Christ to us. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. But there's another term. Eucharisteo, to give thanks. And you can hear the root word charis in that word, eucharisteo. So, for example, the Eucharist is the church's meal of thanksgiving. In other words, grace and gratitude belong together. And it is really only grace which can produce true gratitude, true thanksgiving. There's a telltale sign that is shown when God's mercy and grace has come and changed us, transformed us. And that is when we offer the fruit of the lips, the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving that acknowledges his name. Grace and gratitude belong together like a tree and its fruits. If you see fruits, you know that there is a tree that has produced it. If you see thanksgiving, Paul says, we understand that behind that is the life-giving grace of God. It's a season in which we in our country celebrate Thanksgiving. And I think it's good for us to come to God's Word and be taught of what God teaches with regard to what true thanksgiving is. So we're going to break this verse down, chapter 5, verse 20, into three headings. Firstly, give thanks in all seasons. Secondly, to one God, the Father. And finally, as the new priesthood. Well, firstly, notice what he says, giving thanks always, perpetually. This is not a one and done matter. In other words, this is to be the habit of the believer. It's to be second nature to us. Gratitude is to go from being a foreign language to being part of our native tongue. How often do you want me to take this pill, doctor? Every day. Pick a time right after a meal, but always remember, this medicine must be taken regularly. Similarly, Paul says, give thanks always, at all times. Or your music teacher who says, practice your instruments a half an hour or an hour every day. Paul is telling us to make it a practice to give thanks to God. To put it in the negative, there is never a time in which it is inappropriate or unfitting to give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 34, at all times I will bless the Lord. His praise will always be within my mouth. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This always is connected to the day-to-day speech of the created order around us. For each and every day, what do we encounter? The God who is the giver of every good and perfect gift. You know, we are to have a eyes wide open faith. One of my friends likes to say that he's an avid indoorsman. Our faith, though, tells us to look outdoors, to look at the wonder and wealth of the creation around us. Creation, you see, is like a window through which we see the generosity, the kindness of God. Think about Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. What does he say? Look at the fields. Look at the lilies. They are clothed. Look at the birds of the air. Consider. Not just take note of them as specimens, but see them in relationship to their creator and provider. take a walk through the King's Gardens. There have been many famous King's Gardens. There are the Hanging Gardens in Nineveh that Sennacherib had constructed. There was that remarkable garden of Cyrus, in which he took great interest, every tree, every plant arranged by his own royal hand. The Creator has his gardens, the whole earth, and he calls us to go on a tour through it. And as we walk, we see all the colors, we see all the fruit, we see all the delights to gaze upon. And as we see everything arranged just so, we see the imprint of God who is good. Good to all that he has made, kind in all his works. And so the Lord Jesus teaches his disciples and teaches us to engage in creational reasoning. What is true of all the parts applies to you too. If God feeds the sparrow, if he clothes the lilies, how much more will he feed and clothe you, his children? If God has demonstrated his goodness to one small part of creation, like the swallow or the sparrow, will he not also extend it to you? The always of verse 20 is also connected with the providence of God. When is the providence of God operative and at work? Is it only occasionally, on Tuesdays and Thursdays? No, God with his guiding and governing hand, always at work. So the responsive side of the equation would be, we're then always to acknowledge and give thanks to him. It is good, the psalmist says, to give thanks to the Lord. One forefather has commented, it is good ethically, for it is the Lord's right. It is good emotionally, for it is pleasant to the heart. It is good practically, for it leads others to render the same homage. Devout praise is always good. It is never out of season. Does this always include times of trial and affliction as well? Is it only when the sun is shining, not a cloud in the sky, everything is bright and cheery? Or is it also when the dark clouds form and we hear the thunder rumbling overhead? This always includes times of adversity, times in which we walk through the valley. For there too, God is with us. There too, we know God's goodness and mercy is pursuing us. You know, the Apostle Paul doesn't write one thing and do another. Think about his own life and ministry as recorded in the book of Acts. We can think about that time when he came to Philippi in Acts chapter 16. He had cast a demon out of a slave girl, and her owners were angry because the apostles were cutting into the profit margin of their business because they had used this girl for divination and fortune-telling. So they're thrown into prison, and they're beaten. And remember Paul and Silas in prison? On that midnight time in the jail, what do the other prisoners around them hear? Not the sound of sighing, groaning, and grumbling, But astoundingly, we hear the sound of the songs of hymns. Luke tells us they sang hymns, and the other prisoners were listening to them. How did they give thanks in such a situation, in a cold, dark prison? I don't think it happened just out of the blue. I believe they prepared themselves. They practiced for this moment by singing, giving thanks long before this. They had been faithful in little, and so at that time proved to be faithful in much. The Puritan Thomas Manton wrote, "There is a querulous and sour spirit which is natural to us, always murmuring at God's dealing and wasting and vexing our spirits in heartless complaints. Now this fretting, which often shows itself against God, even in our prayers and supplications, is quelled by nothing so much as by being frequent in praises and thanksgivings." That's why the Bible tells us it is better to have a little with thanksgiving than much with complaining and groaning. Give thanks. Have you been through times of prosperity this year? Then give thanks, for there is no abundance that does not originate with God. Have you been through seasons of struggle and trial as well? Give thanks to him in that time too, because you may have lost certain things. But what have you not lost? God himself, the loving kindness of God. Look back on your path and see his hand upholding you. This is a thanksgiving in all seasons, but secondly, notice, give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Ephesians lived in a context where it was an expectation for Roman citizens to go to the temple to make offerings to the Roman gods, and on select occasions to offer thanksgiving sacrifices to the Roman emperor. Believers, however, refused to bend the knee to any other name, to give thanks in a worshipful sense to anyone else besides God the Father. This God, your God, who is he? He is your God and Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus told Mary, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." The grace of adoption, where in Christ we are heirs of eternal life. Who is this God? Chapter 1 tells us, he is the God who in love predestined us, verse 5, for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. Having now the spirit of adoption, we cry not in a forced or coerced way, but in a willing way, Abba, Father, and we give thanks to him. You know how with our children, we have to sometimes instruct them, don't forget to write a thank you note to your grandmother for that gift. Oh, Ma, do I have to? But the Spirit works in us a cheerfulness when we begin to comprehend the magnitude and the extent of the gift that has been poured out upon us. With gladness and joy, I will give thanks to God the Father. Listen to what the Heidelberg Catechism says in question 26. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Answer, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father because of Christ, God's Son. I trust God so much that I do not doubt that God will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends to me in this sad world. God, being Almighty God, is able to do this. God, being a faithful Father, desires to do this. The Ephesians, many of them were converted from a background of serving magic and the dark spirits. They had previously lived to control and to manipulate cosmic forces, to bend these powers in their favor and in their direction. But no longer do they live under such powers. They now bow before the great power of the Lord Jesus, who is exalted far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And so they now live in trust, gratefulness. It's no accident that with the diminishing of the Christian faith in the West, we're witnessing the rise of astrology and fortune-telling in our society. Calvin writes, as unbelievers transfer the government of the world from God to the stars, imagining that happiness or misery depends upon their passages and not on the divine will, the consequence is that their fear, which ought to have reference to him only, is diverted to stars and comets. If you think about it, there's really no such thing as gratefulness in a fatalistic worldview. Why is that? Because you never know what fate has in store for you. It's fundamentally impersonal. It's all about chance. And so those captive to this can only live in despair and in fear. But we as Christians give thanks personally because we personally know God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need to look at the stars to find direction, to find your worth and significance. God has chosen you in love. God has set his eye upon you and has drawn you with cords of love to himself. If that doesn't give you a sense of exuberance and of joy, nothing else will. Consider Daniel. Prospect of being thrown into the lion's den. They had actually written a decree. If anyone prays and gives thanks to anyone else besides the king, he is going to be thrown into the pit with lions inside. The book of Daniel tells us that very day he knew the decree had been written. He goes back to his house and he does what he always had done. He opens the windows, he looks toward Jerusalem, and the text tells us he bowed down and gave thanks to God. Nothing could deter him. Nothing could stop him from rendering thanks to the Lord. Or think about the prophet Jonah, when he is swallowed by the fish in the depths of the sea. Even there, he, so to speak, opens the windows to God's presence when he prays. But I, with a voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Notice, we give thanks to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding that it is only through his mediation, through his representation, that we have the right and privilege of calling him our Father. In other words, true thanksgiving comes from understanding our position in Christ. Where are you right now? Wherever you have been or wherever you are in Christ, in the peace of Christ, in the fullness of Christ, in the protection of Christ, in the righteousness of Christ. That's why Paul begins the letter by saying, "Blessed be," another way of saying, "Thanks be to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." You step in the river, you know that river has a source. We step in the river of the water of life. We know this proceeds from the throne of God and from the Lamb. And so at Thanksgiving, we trace these gifts, these benefits back to God. To God, who has not simply shown himself ready and apt to forgive, but actually has in Christ forgiven us. He has not shown himself ready to be merciful and willing, but actually demonstrated his love and mercy in the full sense in Christ. We can lose so many things in this life. We can lose our stuff, our status. We can lose our health. We can lose our friends, our family. All of these, any of these, can be taken from us at any given moment. But your union with Christ, being seated with him in the heavenly places, that can never be taken from you. Give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In all seasons, to one God the Father, and finally, as a new priesthood. Notice part of the background for verse 20 is back in verse 18. To be filled with the Spirit. What has the Spirit done? He has touched our lips, so that we go from grumbling, murmuring against the Lord, now to saying, declaring what we never could have before when we were in our sin. Thank you, Lord. I bless you. My soul bless the Lord. At one time we lived, didn't we? Under the Spirit that is at work in the sons of disobedience. And one of the marks, the hallmarks of disobedience, is a refusal to give thanks to God. In the flesh, in sin, we will do anything and everything else but turn to the Lord to give thanks to him. We simply said to him, "I will not do it." But now we've been softened. Now we've been remade, reborn. Remember when the lepers were healed, the 10 lepers? Jesus says 10 of them were healed, but only one came back and gave thanks. And it was a Samaritan. The Samaritan who was the least likely, from the Jewish standpoint, to be the one to turn back. He came and did what was fitting and appropriate, given what he had received, the restoration, the renovation, the transformation of his body and his soul. Notice that this thanksgiving is not an isolated affair. In verse 19, we're told to address one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, songs which include songs of thanksgiving. And then verse 20, submitting to what? To one another in reverence, or out of reverence for Christ. You see, the context for believers to give thanks is the church of Christ. A new society. In the church, you are part of a new humanity, recreated in the new Adam, in Christ himself. We used to walk in a different society, in a society of darkness, verse 11, a society fueled by envy, resentment, dissatisfaction, a community based on those things is going to be torn apart at the seams very quickly. But we are part of a communion, a body leavened, seasoned by joy in the Holy Spirit and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving which opens the door to joyful praise to God, but also closes the door on bitterness and grumbling. And so let us give thanks to the Lord as the Levites who open the doors of the temple of the Lord. In Ezra chapter 3, they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever toward Israel. We, as the new priesthood, understand that the steadfast love of God has its final and full expression in the Lord Jesus Christ, in him who is himself our peace. So let us give thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for your indescribable gift. We do thank you that you have called us who were strangers, aliens, and brought us near through the blood of Christ. And so we do pray that you would teach us thanksgiving not only with our lips, but from the heart. It is in Christ's name we do pray. Amen.